Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with him. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God.
Oh, Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream.
God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want
to be salt and light and light and salt and sight and light and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus, and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see. The uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother, and I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps. And she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
Prayer. It's an interesting, isn't it? I want to start a new series, and it's going to extend through the summer months. And it's going to be called the Power Series. And as I was praying and saying, God, what can we give practically this summer as we go through and live our lives, and it's a busy life, and some weeks we kind of have holidays and other things, we're here and we're gone. I wanted to give something that would be able, you'd be able to take home with you, something that you would be able to really, really glean upon. And so Fusion, which we have during the fall nights, I got an email from Sherilyn, who takes care of Fusion, and she said, you know, as I was praying, I came across the thought of the theme of power and how important it is to have power in our lives. And as I was read that email and as I was praying myself, that kind of resonated with me. That there's something about the power of God ministering and working in our lives. And as Pentecostals, we want power, don't we? That's kind of what we're about. That's our distinctive, isn't it? We want to be Pentecostal. We want to see the power of God move. But as I began to really begin to pray and seek the Lord, I think that the power of God extends past Acts chapter 8, verse 1. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And again, I don't want to take away from that. And this is why perhaps we've changed the format of our Sunday evening service. The format of our Sunday evening service is such that we kind of tried to shorten things down a little bit and have a time of worship and then have a kind of a shorter sermon time, which is geared towards the power of God moving in our lives, and then to have an extended altar time, so that we can allow a time for the presence of God to move in our lives and to focus on the power of God and to have a lingering time. Like some of the most impactful times in my life have been at an altar on a Sunday evening service, where there was no pressure to leave right away, that you had a chance for people to pray, perhaps anoint you with oil, and you just had a time to kind of sit there. And sometimes for me, it takes like 20 minutes for me to somehow get everything else out of my head before I'm actually able to hear God. I don't know if anybody else is that way, but that's me a lot of the time. And so we wanted to provide an opportunity for the Spirit of God to move. And so that's kind of what we're doing. Pastor Len's going to be speaking on healing tonight. And so if you need healing, or if you want to stand in the gap for someone who is needing of healing, come on out to the service tonight. But here's what I have come to find in my years as a Christian, that despite the fact that there is a Pentecostal aspect of the power of God moving, that there are other things that we have at our repertoire as believers in Christ, as followers of Jesus, which exude power. There are powerful moments. And so this is one that we're talking about today, the aspect of prayer. That one of the most powerful things that you can do is to pray. It is the most powerful thing. So there are a number of things over the next couple of months that we're going to be talking about where there is absolute power. If you take a look deeply into it, here's the thing with power and the issues with the series on power, is that there are powerful things in our life. And with every powerful thing that God has in our life, there will be an equal amount, or at least an attempt, to keep you from that power. I think in the areas which are most powerful in our life, there is also the most susceptibility to spiritual battle in our life. You see, with every potential powerful thing, Satan through the centuries has realized, if something like this becomes real, if something like this happens, then I'm in trouble. So Satan, at every area, will do everything he can to keep that area of power happening. It's true, isn't it? See, the times of spiritual battle I have come to find are the times when you don't realize that spiritual battle is taking place. If you know that the devil is there at the front, then you will be prepared to battle him. But he'll work so subtly, and he will work so slowly, he'll cause it to be so indifferent that perhaps you won't even engage in the battle. And with that, this let me say to you that the times when you are praying are the times when you are the most dangerous. That the times that Satan is most scared are the times when you are actually bowing before him in prayer. And so for a number of us, we have kind of thought, well, I'm just not good at this, and I'm so frustrated. And sometimes we just think it's because we're lazy or we're apathetic, and maybe that is the case, and hopefully not. I've come to find this, that guilt is a terrible factor in trying to get people to pray. I can give you one of the biggest, most passionate messages on prayer, and what you're going to do is you're going to go out to Wendy's or wherever, and you're going to go before that food, and you're going to say, God, I pray you bless this food, and you just kind of have this intensity in prayer over the food, and then that night you're going to be praying, and you're going to make a promise, but somewhere along the way, we kind of fade out. Guilt's never good. Another thing is this. Whenever I give a message on prayer, I realize that it is not a eureka moment. I believe that every single one of us know that prayer is something which is important. And so with this, there's a number of things which are important to remember. If you realize that some of the most difficulties you have in prayer are based on the fact that it is a spiritual battle that you'll be facing every single day, somehow it'll cause you to think differently. I absolutely will be surprised, and I think you will as well. If you really knew what happens when we pray, you would probably pray a whole lot more. I believe that with all of my heart. And that's why I think Satan will do everything he can to keep you from that. As a pastor, I've tried to read a book a year on prayer. And before you're very impressed, I haven't completely done that every year. But I have read a number of books on prayer. When I was in Bible college, the book The Hour That Changed the World by Dick Eastman revolutionized my life and the way that I pray. He divides things into 12 different sections. He says, if you pray 1 minute in this section, you'll have prayed 12 minutes. But if you just spend 5 minutes in each of these 12 areas, you'll have prayed an hour a day. And it's not that hard. Anything by a fellow named E.M. Bounds. I don't know if you've heard of E.M. Bounds. He lived kind of from the mid-1800s to the early 1900s. Wrote some of the most tremendous, convicting stuff on prayer. If you ever get a chance to read anything from E.N. Bounds, it is certainly worth the read. And 20 years ago, when I was here as a pastor, the senior pastor recommended a book which was called Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. Tremendous book. But despite that I have tried to stay ahead and to read and to learn more about this subject, there are times where I have difficulty. There are times when it is really, really tough for me. And so there's this aspect of, like I said, spiritual warfare. You take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, and it talks about the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, doing everything to stand. It talks about putting on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, and all these things. But often we don't read the verse after that, which says this, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests, and with this in mind, be alert, always keeping in mind the fact that you need to pray for all of God's people. That Daniel, as he was praying, had a time where he was held back the prayer because of an entity called the Prince of Persia. Like, these are realistic things. And so, what I thought I would do, if I could, is I wanted to give you three instances where I've come to see the value in what is called intercessory prayer. And that's kind of what I'm going to be focusing on. This is kind of what I'll call a tip of the iceberg sermon. And tip of the iceberg sermons I don't like because there's so much of the stuff I want to tell you that I can't. But I want to try and stay focused, if I could, to talk about this. And there are what I would call three hangers, three instances, three defining moments that happened in my life that have kind of caused me to see this the importance of this thing called intercession faith, praying for other people. The first was the time, and I think that I gave this story a number of months ago, and perhaps you will remember it, maybe you weren't here. So here it goes. I was a young Christian, and I was serving the Lord, and you know, as a young Christian, you just have this vigor, you just kind of have this level of intensity, and so you know, friends were told me, listen, if your family doesn't know the Lord, you need to pray for them, you need to pray for them every day, and that's what I did every day, and I was praying. The problem with this instance was that the more that I prayed, My brother, Tom. Tom, if you're listening on podcast, God bless you. I'm still praying for you. He got worse. It was terrible. Like, it was the harder that I prayed, the worse that he got. And I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that, but this is what was happening to me. And here I am, a young Christian, thinking this thing through. And eventually I said, maybe I'm doing it wrong. But that kind of led to a time where I just said, why bother? Why bother? So I stopped. I just stopped praying for my family, stopped praying for my parents, stopped praying for my two brothers. And I just kind of went on thinking that, well, maybe something will happen somewhere along the way. Until 2 weeks later, I am in a midweek Bible study. And I meet a friend who kind of accepted the Lord the same time I accepted the Lord, asked how I was doing and that. And we kind of got into a conversation as to where he worked. And I realized that he worked at the same plant that my brother worked. And I said, hey, perhaps you know my brother, Tom. What? He's your brother? That guy's crazy. Yes, I know he's crazy. I was just wondering if you worked with him. Yes. He says, I'll tell you one thing about your brother. He says, I work right beside him on the line. I tell him about Jesus absolutely every day. Not only that, my other buddy, George, he's on the other side. He's twice as fanatic as I am. And he tells them twice as much about Jesus. So every day, he is bombarded with the gospel. And that became a defining moment in my life. Because I realized that just because I wasn't seeing something happen, something was happening. Second experience that happened in my life was as I became older, and I wasn't grown up, I just got saved as a teenager, and we began dating, and it's kind of funny how everyone, there's kind of seasons of marriage, if you've kind of found that sometimes in the church, where all your friends, everybody gets married, and so this was the situation, and we had these friends, these people that we knew, and they were a few years older than us, and they had already been married for a little while, and things started to go bad. Like, I mean bad. Like, have you ever heard the nursery rhyme Humpty Dumpty? I'll tell you this. All the king's horses and all the king's men, I do not think would ever be able to put this marriage back together again. It was difficult to watch. From what I understand, thinking back, it had gotten to the point where one spouse was at the point of disinterest in the relationship that the person that they were seeing outside of the marriage was just picking them up at the front of the house. And so things deteriorated and deteriorated and deteriorated to the point where mostly everyone said, I don't see any kind of good solution to this, except for a parent of one of them and a few of her friends. And they basically said this, I don't believe that. I refuse to believe that this is God's will for their life. And so what she did is she got a bunch of her friends and said, you need to start praying for them. We're going to start praying for them. We're going to pray for them every day. And every time that I have every spare moment, I'm going to pray for them. And so what happened was that the relationship deteriorated to the point where all they had to do was sign the papers. What ended up happening was, I don't know. I don't know exactly all the scenario that had taken place. And, you know, when people are going through difficult times, I'm not going to be in there with a notebook on and say, well, what happened next? Right? But what did happen was they decided to stay together. And they had children. And their children had children. And 35 years later, that marriage is still together. And I asked myself this question. Could you imagine the brokenness? Could you imagine the legacy of brokenness that one decision would have made? That all of a sudden, those children perhaps wouldn't have been born. Perhaps they would have went into other dysfunctional family relationships. But what you've seen as a part of the healing of God, that not only did that happen, but children were brought up in a Christian environment, and they had children. And you see the hand of God move. And it happened because there was somebody who was not willing to say, oh, okay, if that's the way it is, it looks like it's all but dead, I might as well just stop. That ever happened? Ever seen that? You see, I think that God sometimes allows things not to work, but God works as we pray. Here's the third instance. And the third instance isn't really a scenario that I've gone through, but it perhaps was a legacy that was inbred in me as a young Christian. As I grew up and as this church took this teenage kid along, I began to go to the services. And I had friends that used to go to the service. And I had one friend, and his dad used to come, maybe drop us off. And the dad would come in to the service for 10 minutes. Then he would start to cry uncontrollably. Like, I'm talking, this is not a weak man at all in any stretch, but he would be in that service maybe 10 minutes, and he couldn't handle it. He had to leave. I don't think I ever remember him ever making it through a service. And as I began to go to church, I realized that in this particular church, the church that I grew up in, there were a group of people that sacrificed themselves. They kind of went on a rotation basis, but they promised and pledged themselves to pray that the Holy Spirit would move while the service was running. So they many times would miss a service and they would just intercede. They would just call on God. And as a result, there were times in that service where as soon as you stepped into the building, you could sense the presence of God. Have you ever been there? You ever gone to a service? And the minute you step into the chapel or whatever, you say, I think somebody's been praying here. Something going on. Something kind of strange taking place here. And that's what happened. That church, I think that church ministers to well over 2,000 people. And so those are the three impactful moments, those defining moments that happened in my life as we talk about this thing which is called intercession. And so if you could give me a few minutes, I'll kind of tell you why this is important. Because there are three main ingredients that are seen in those three stories where you can see the power of God moving through this thing which we call intercession. If I can somehow encourage you as you leave to not give up, if I can somehow in some way talk to you about the most powerful thing that you have as a Christian, this is the most powerful thing that you have in your repertoire as a believer in Christ. But it's also perhaps for most of us the most frustrating thing that you may be experiencing, even if you've been a Christian for many, many years. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 18. While you're turning to that, the passage says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." This is the classic passage on Scripture. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard that passage of Scripture. But this is one which I think is interesting. It says in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, "Then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was this widow in that town who kept on coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly.'" The first step, when you're talking about any kind of intercession and praying for people, is the thing which we'll call patience. Patience is something which is needed. And the funny thing about this passage of Scripture is that Jesus gives permission to pester him. Because that's kind of what it sounds like, doesn't it? And this is kind of where we're different from parents than God is, isn't it? If I have kids and they continually come to me about the same thing, "Dad, can I, dad, 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 can I, what? Diakonai? Is that some kind of Greek word or something? I get fed up. But the scripture says with God, this is the opposite thing, that you need to continually come to him. You need to continually go before God and see that he will move and that he will minister. There's a guy in church history. His name was George Mueller. Some of you may know his name. Some of you may not. He ran a nursery, an orphanage in England in the 1800s, and tremendous. There are very few people that were a man of faith that George Mueller is or was. But there's a story that is told about him, about the fact that he had four friends who didn't know Jesus, and so he continually prayed for them. He says, after a couple of months, one of them came to know the Lord. The other one, right away, had come to know the Lord. The fourth one, 30 years he prayed for before eventually this person came to know Jesus. The last one came to know Jesus 6 months after he died. Why is this so important? Because you just never know what happens when you pray. You just got to keep on praying. Even if things look terrible, even like if it looks like nothing is happening, even though it looks like there are no results taking place, you still need to pray. You still need to see the power of God move. I'm so glad, you know, that Wednesday evening when I had that conversation with my brother, or with my Christian brother who was praying for my biological brother, that was a turning point in my life. I can't tell you what the message was about that particular Wednesday. But it caused me to change the way that I pray. It caused me to change the way that I see things. Because you don't know. I don't want to get to heaven and see this junk pile of unfinished business in my life. You know what I mean? Do you have things that in the back of your heart kind of lie dormant because you just kind of gave up? Just somehow in some way you got discouraged. Somehow in some way you just thought, well, God just isn't listening to this. And so it kind of gets placed on some kind of shelf or some kind of warehouse in the back of your heart. And all of a sudden you get to heaven and you see, you mean I could have seen that through? Do you mean there could have been a miracle that had taken place? I don't want to be that guy. I don't think that you want to as well. That you need to realize that there is something about the fact that God will move as you pray. But it is also true that if you stop praying, that somehow God moves as you call on him. That's why prayer is so important. That's why intercession is so important. This is why you can't give up. So that's why as you're here and you're thinking about that one thing that the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart, and you say, you know what, I kind of gave up on that. And maybe God is just kind of saying, you know what? Maybe you should just keep on. Maybe you don't know. And the encouragement is to keep on, because something happens as we persevere in prayer. There's just something about it. The scripture talks about it. Which leads to the next step, which I'll call power. Because what happens is interceding prayer often is prevailing prayer. That you have to go on, and if you keep on, you will eventually see power take place. The funniest story of this, if you're a Bible scholar or if you know the word or anything, is Acts chapter 12. Peter gets out of prison. The church starts praying for him. Peter is released. He goes to the door where they're praying for him. They knock on the door and they say, there's a ghost there. It's not even him. They don't even believe the fact that God actually moves even as they're praying for him. I've done that. Sorry, folks. Sometimes perhaps you have as well. You see, James talks about the fact that we need to confess our faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. Ever read that passage of scripture? Then it goes on and it says this: the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, NIV says, is powerful and effective. King James Version says, availeth much. Many times you win when that takes place. If you can continue on, there is a power to this thing which is called prayer. And the reference with which it's talking about, it says this: are you in trouble? It says in the verses before. Are you sick? Is there sin in your life? These are the occasions that we pray, because powerful things happen when you pray. If you believe it and see it happen, it takes place. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a husband, and you've sat alone in a service for a number of times, and all of a sudden God somehow reaches out to that spouse of yours, husband or wife, and somehow God moves miraculously in that life. If you're here, you're not serving the Lord, and you're here with your spouse, someone's been praying for you. Maybe it's that wild person that you think nobody's going to ever see that guy come to know Jesus. Well, I think Paul was one of those guys, if I'm not mistaken. The guy who wrote like most of the New Testament. He is one of those guys, isn't he? It's incredible. Maybe it's that impossible situation. I'm not too sure exactly where it is. Here's the thing I have found, folks. That whenever I go into a hospital, or whenever I go into a hospice where the situation is pretty dim, and many times being a pastor for a number of years, you can kind of tell when things are not looking good. There has never been one time where I have kind of said, Lord, if it be your will, let what happens, happens. I think that's a weak prayer. Because I think that there's something powerful about interceding prayer, and you don't know exactly what God has. Don't ever put yourself in the place where you say, well, this is obviously a situation. Every time that I have prayed in a hospital where the situation has seemed bleak, I have prayed with all of my heart that God would heal them. Continually, always. It has been a situation that takes place all the time. And the reason is this. I have seen many times where it seems impossible, and somehow, in some way, God goes through. And God has not called me to survey or go over the situation. God has called me to pray that it will happen, that it will take place. Because there is power. And the perseverance will reveal the power. You see, the two work together. Which brings me to the last point, which is the presence. And this is an important one, because it says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I truly tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them for my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, I am, what? There in the midst of them. That there's something about the presence of God when two or three people are somehow gathering, praying over something, God is there. God shows up. If there's anything that you can take away from today, is that if we want the presence of God to move, it will happen as we begin to call on the name of God. There's something about corporate prayer. There's something about people praying together. There's something powerful which takes place. Every revival that is recorded came because one or two people or three or four people or something had happened, taken place, where people began to pray and God begins to show up. We have so many newfangled ways to do church, don't we? And a number of them are really good, and the techniques that are being used and the things that we utilize to somehow tell the world that we love them are good. But if you're here and you're dying of some form of cancer, it doesn't matter what newfangled method you're going to use. What you want is the power of God. Amen? The thing that will change lives and the things that will cause the church to go ahead and the presence of God moving will be people praying as the presence of God will move. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, people will come to church when they see the power of God at work. Amen? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Amen. So, I got finished early. And there's a reason I got finished early. Because I think it is time that we began to wake ourselves up again to the one of the most powerful things that you have. There have been people who have asked me, I want to really get involved in church. Where can I get involved in church where it really is going to make a difference? I said, have you considered the intercessors group? They meet at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday mornings, just in the gymnasium there. Yeah, that's good, but I want to have something which is exciting, something which is going to make a difference. Well, the most powerful thing that you have is the weapon of prayer that you have. And the thing is, it's not easy work. And the thing is, not too many people know what's going to take place in over the thing. And you may never, ever know the effects of things that you see. But if there's not any more powerful method or thing in the church, I don't know what there is. And so I asked myself, what brought me to that point? And as I prayed, I thought it was these three things, these three moments that happened in my life. And I asked myself to you, do you have that moment? Have you had that thing happen in your life where you just said, ah, okay, I get it. I need to continue to pray. There's a famous pastor in Chicago. His name is Lee Elkov. And he tells a story. Well, the worship team, if you can kind of come up at this time as I finish up here. He says, I was here as a pastor, and there was a lady who had a severely mentally handicapped son. So what she decided to do is she decided, I want to call for the elders of the church. I want to pray over him, and I'm not too sure exactly what's going to happen, to what extent, but I just feel that that's kind of what the Bible tells me to do, and so I wanted to do that. And so that's what they did. They prayed, and a time went by after that came, and the lady, the mother, had come, and she sat down with the pastor and said, you know, I got some news I wanted to tell you. I went and talked to the doctors, and her son was so mentally handicapped that she didn't know whether her son had even known him or not. It was that drastic. And they said, we've been doing some work with the son, and we discovered that he understands a whole lot more than we think that he understands. Do you want to see? And so, yes, of course I want to see. And so she goes in, and so with a series of red cards and green cards, they show him. And what he did is he pointed to the cards to prove that he could actually communicate, understand what was going on. And so what happened was she comes in the room, and he kind of giggles a little bit, and this, and she says, they ask him a few questions, and they said, do you know if your mom is here? And he points to the green card. Can you point and tell me where she is? Right there. And see, first time in 25 years, she realized that her son actually knew who she was. And I would imagine you'd think of this situation would be completely emotionally overwhelming. And she said this, I believe that happened when the elders of the church came and prayed over me and over my child. I think that this happened as a result. And you know what he said? He said, every time somebody comes to me and says, can you have the elders of the church come over and pray? He says, I think of that situation. My question to you, I can convince you on the importance of intercession. You will say a hearty amen to that if you've been a believer for any length of time. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to try and convince you of something which you kind of know to be true. But if I could do this, if it's possible, I want to have a corporate prayer to end our time together. Like I said, it's still kind of early. What I want to do is pray that God will give you a hanger moment. That God will give you an experience that will say, yeah, okay, I believe it. I get it now. Because that's what we need sometimes. That'll be the thing that keeps you praying. That'll be the thing that keeps you from giving up. So I'm going to ask us all to stand. And I want to close with an altar time. And for any person who is here and says, you know what, that's kind of me. I want to get back to prayer. I want to be able to see the presence of God move. I want to have the power of God through prayer work in me. Come on and meet me up with the front. Come on, even now, even as I'm talking, if God is speaking to your heart, come on, find a place at the front. We're just going to close with a corporate prayer, and then I'm going to hand it over to Glenn, and we'll be dismissed. But if you're here, let's just kind of come up to the front. Let's just allow the presence of God to move at this time. Let's just begin to renew our desire to see God move through intercession prayer. God, just begin to move in our hearts and our lives. Begin to move. Just try and find a place at the front. And if you're here, the Spirit of God is just moving in your life. Just fine. I'm not gonna handcuff you here. We're just gonna have a time of prayer, a corporate moment where we say, God, renew this in me. Renew it in my heart and in my life. Make it real. Allow the presence of God to truly flow and minister. Praise you, Father. I believe this is going to be a defining moment for one or two people, for those people who are going to take this. I believe that God is going to do something. I believe that God is going to move in that one particular episode, that one thing that perhaps you've been praying for a long time, and maybe you've given up, and God is just kind of calling you this morning to renew that. Praise you, Father. Let's just find a place. Find a place at the front. Praise you, Father. God, move. God, do something deep in our lives. Do something deep in our lives, I pray. God, begin to move in a powerful way in our lives, oh God. Not just the routine, something real, something deep, God. Begin to see powerful things take place in our hearts and our lives. God, let us begin to begin see the restored effects of the power of righteous men and women come to fruition. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Let's just cry out to God together right now with this prayer. Dear Father, in Jesus' name, as the pastor of this church, oh God, we call out to you. God, I pray that you will reignite in us a passion for the power of prayer. God, I just pray, Father, that you will begin to revive those things that we have forgotten about, that we prayed for and we kind of stopped because we've gotten discouraged or something has somehow gotten in the way, and you're calling us back to a time of perseverance, and God, you're calling us back to see a time of power take place, Father, that we'll see people restored, we'll see backslidden people come back to know you, we'll see people who have been sick restored, we'll see people who are emotionally drained brought back to strength, oh God. And Lord, maybe even most of all, that we will experience fully the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and our lives. God, we need your presence. God, we need to see the power of God every moment in our lives. God, as we walk into this sanctuary, as we walk into this church, Father, feeling and sensing the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God. So Lord, I pray this upon this congregation. I pray that for every person who is hungry for you, I pray it, Father, for everyone who is looking for a miracle and has run the long race, Father, and are just getting weary, that God, this will be the push that will keep them going to see family and friends come to know you, and we'll see miracles begin to take place. God, we pray, restore in us, Father, the power of prayer. Restore in us, Father, the power of interceding lives, oh God. I pray it, Father, and we pray it together with one voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.